الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، yesterday we come at explanations regarding Ayat al-Kursi. And those explanations vis-a-vis the verse is connected to two groups of matters. The first of them, matters regarding declaring Allah's oneness, at-Tawheed. And that to declare Allah's oneness occurs in three forms, three categories. One having to do with Allah's rububiyyah, the other having to do with Allah's uluhiyyah, and the third having to do with Allah's asma wa sifat. Under the matters of sifat, we have mentioned some of the names of Allah in Ayat al-Kursi. And in this verse, we could recognize five of Allah's names. The first is Allah itself. Then we have Al-Hayyu, the ever-living. And then we have Al-Qayyum, the one who keeps, who cares, who is independent for himself, and who is in charge of all others. And then we recognize Al-Aliyu, the one who is far high above all things, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we recognize Al-Azim, five names from Ayat al-Kursi. But like we mentioned, the sifat are many, they are more than five. Each of the names has its own sifat that accompanies it. And there are others that are his sifat that are not from his name. Like we mentioned, Ba'du sifat awsa, the matters regarding Allah's sifat, Allah's attributes, are wider in their scope. Today, inshallah, we'll continue from where we stopped. The Shaykh said, rahimahullah, ونؤمن بأنه هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen said, wa nu'minu, and we believe. Who are those? Ahlus Sunnah al-Jama'ah. Says, wa nu'minu bi annahu, and then we believe that he, Allah, huwa Allah, he is Allah. Like we said yesterday, the most unique of Allah's name is Allah. All the rest of his name points to Allah, the word Allah and what it means, and signify it envelops all the rest of his attributes. Ulama say Allah has in it three things. So he is Allah, the one who is the one that is only deservingly worshipped. Said this word has three things. The first one, Al-Jalal. The word involves mightiness. It involves Al-Kamal, perfection. And it involves Al-Azama. It involves sublimity, supremacy. Allah involves three things. Al-Jalal, Wal-Kamal, Wal-Azama. Al-Jalal, mightiness. Wal-Kamal, perfection. And then it involves Al-Azama, mightiness, sublimity, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any of the attributes or names of Allah that you get will fall under these three things. It either describing Allah Jalala, or it is describing Allah Kamal, perfection, or it is describing Allah Azama, his sublimity, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Allah says, Huwa Allah, he is Allah. This Allah, Allahi, he is the one that La ilaha illahu. There is no one that is deserving to be worshipped except him. And then he says, Allah is Alimul Ghaib. Alimul Ghaib, the one who has the knowledge, who knows Al-Ghaib. Ulama say Al-Ghaib, the unseen, is divided into two. The first aspect of Ghaib is Al-Ghaib Al-Nisri, relative unseen. You are here, you don't know what is in your house. So what's happening in your house is Ghaib, with respect to you. This is relative. Al-Ghaib Al-Nisri. But there is Al-Ghaib Al-Mutlaq. That is, a Nisbi may be known to you at some point in time, unknown to you at another time. Known to some people, unknown to some people. Unknown to some people in a location, known to some people in another location. It is Nisbi. But when it is Mutlaq, Al-Ghaib Al-Mutlaq, it is not known by all. Ulama say this is what it refers to. Both Nisbi and Mutlaq. Allah is the one who has the absolute knowledge of Al-Ghaib. So he called himself, he described himself as Alimul Ghaib wa Shahada. Shahada are those things that you can see. They are manifest. When a thing is known, when a thing is seen, Allah knows it. When it is from the unseen, Allah knows it. We'll come back to Ghaib, inshallah. He says, Huwa Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Allah is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. The first five names we took was Allah, then by what? Al-Hayyu. Then what? Al-Qayyum. Then what? Al-Aliyu. Then what? Al-Azim. Now we are coming back to take more of them. The first one the Imam mentioned in verse in which it contains is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. So we have seven now. The question now is, what is Allah being Ar-Rahman? Ar-Rahman, ulama say it means Al-Mustaqifu Bisifati Ar-Rahman. The one who has an attribute. And that attribute is the attribute of mercy, compassion. Allah is merciful. Ar-Rahman, the one who is merciful. Allah is merciful, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ar-Rahman. So somebody calls and says, brother, what is the meaning of Ar-Rahman? The one who has the attributes of mercy. Ar-Rahman. So Allah's name is Ar-Rahman, the one who has the attributes of mercy. The other name that is attached to that is Ar-Rahim, the one who shows mercy to others. Ar-Rahman, the one who has the attributes of mercy. Ar-Rahim, the one who grants mercy to others. He said, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. Each time he mentions Ar-Rahim, it has to do with his showing mercy to people. So Allah is Ar-Rahman, Al-Muttasifu bi-Sifat Ar-Rahman, the one who has the attribute of being merciful. He has mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is Ar-Rahim. He grants that mercy, he shows people mercy. And the entirety of the creation have a feeling of the mercy of Allah. It is from his mercy the women show mercy to the children. The father shows mercy to his child. Even animals, lower animals, as we would call them, they are also merciful to their younger ones. So all of these are from the mercy of Ar-Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is Ar-Rahman, he is also Ar-Rahim. He says, هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَّهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. He kept on repeating the fact that no one deserves to be worshipped except him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, Al-Maliku, we add to our list of names, Allahu, Al-Hayyu, Al-Qayyum, Al-Aliyu, Al-Azim. Then we took today Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. We are adding to this present now. What are we adding? Al-Malik. Al-Malik is the king, the one who has authority. He owns, and then he has authority over what he owns. He has authority over the people. He has sovereignty, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the king, Al-Malik. He is absolutely the king over all, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he owns them, and he has authority over them, and then he controls their affairs. Allah is Al-Malik. And then he said he is Al-Quddus. Al-Quddus is Al-Mutatahhir min kulli ayb. The one who is purified, he is high above any kind of defect or deficiency. Two things. Purified, then he does not have deficiency. Al-Quddus. Because there is As-Salah. As-Salam is As-Salimu min kulli ayb. So As-Salam has part of the meaning of what? Al-Quddus. Al-Quddus, he is pure away from deficiency. Pure and is free of deficiency. Al-Quddus. But As-Salam is the one who is free of deficiency. So ulama say Al-Quddus has a wider meaning than what? As-Salam. And As-Salam is more specific than what Al-Quddus in the aspect of being free from deficiency. So Allah is Al-Quddus, As-Salam. We begin to now observe another matter in the issues of Al-Asma' wa Sifat. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen, in his sharh of Kitab al-Tawhid, Al-Qawl al-Mufid, when he gave some qawaid, some basic foundations with which Allah's names and attributes are better understood, one of them is that his names and his attributes are connected to themselves. You will see that Ar-Rahman is connected to what? Ar-Rahim. You will see that Al-Ghaffar is connected to what? Al-Ghafur. you will also see that Al-Quddus is connected to what? As-Salam. His name, one way or the other, are connected to themselves. So it's one of the things we have to understand about Tawheed al-Asma al-Sifat, that Allah's names have connection with one another. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is As-Salam, the one who is free from every kind of defect and deficiency. And then he is Al-Mu'min. One of the ulama say Al-Mu'min has 6 minutes. Six Al-Mu'min. We don't take two and proceed from the six. But if you want more of it, go to Zad al-Matir by Imam Ibn Jawzi. You see the rest of them. And the rest of them will not go out of these two. Al-Mu'min, the one who grants aman. What is aman? Security, safety, protection. Unlike Al-Mu'min, like he told Quraysh, that Allah, فَلْيَعْمُدُ رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. You people should worship the Lord of this house, your Kaaba, with you. This Lord, أَطْعَمَهُمْ الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ. He feeds them when they were hungry. وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. And then he protected them from what? From fear. So Allah is what? Al-Mu'min. The one who grants the protection. 1 minute of Al-Mu'min. The second meaning of Al-Mu'min, ulama say, the one that we believe. We believe him, subhanahu. So it's Al-Mu'min, the one that is believed. So we have iman from believing in Allah, subhanahu. So he is Al-Mu'min, the one that we believe. Ulama say this and explain them. So Allah is Al-Malik, he is Al-Quddus, he is As-Salam, he is Al-Mu'min, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is also Al-Muhaiminu, the one who watches over everybody. He watches over everyone. So he knows what everyone is doing. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is well aware of what everyone is doing. So he is Al-Muhaymin, the watcher over them. The one who goes beyond bounds, he knows it. When Fir'aun went beyond bounds, Allah called him back. He refused, he punished him. The watcher over them. Those who give servitude to him, he praises them and promises them al-Jannah. So he watches over the activities of his creatures. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is also Al-Aziz. Allah is Al-Aziz. Zul-Izzah. Izzah, usually people explain it to mean nobility. The one who has nobility, he has esteem, he has reverence in everything that he does. Al-Aziz is the one who is noble in everything that he does. But this is just one of the meanings of Izzah. From among the meaning of Izzah is that he is supreme over all others. He has nobility, he is high in everything that he does, he is supreme over the rest of everything. So as the creator of the creature, he is azim, he is noble all over them, and then he is supreme all above them. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will also imply that the imperfections they have, he does not have. So ulama say that Aziz, the sifa of Allah having Izzah itself, it takes a meaning from the aspect of being free from imperfection. One of his names is Ar-Razzaq, the one who provides. It is not from nobility that you will create and then you can't provide for what you have created. It is from the aspect of imperfection. What Allah is Al-Khaliqul, is also what? Al-Aziz. Because he has Izzah, it's not so he provides for what he has created. So Allah is Al-Aziz. Al-Aziz, the one who is noble, the one who is supreme above all that he has created, and he is free from imperfection. If he has imperfection, there will be no supremacy. Supremacy over what? Supremacy over what? When you are asleep, he is supreme, he does not sleep, he is Aziz. So he is protecting you that you are asleep. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is Al-Aziz. Al-Aziz. From the aspect of Izzah is that the individual has an ability to do what he wants. From the aspect of Islam, nobility is the individual who has Islam, he can implement what he wants. It's from the aspect of Islam. Allah is Al-Aziz. In the absolute sense of Islam, he has that attribute, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is Al-Jabbar. The one who dominates over everyone. Apart domination, it involves being high above all others. He dominates them, he is high over them. Dominance is usually difficult when you are not high above those you want to dominate. High above them in terms of knowledge, high above them in terms of arzak, high above them in terms of being aware of what they are doing, high above them in terms of power. That's why some of the ulama say Al-Jabbar is from the aspect of Al-Quwwatul Azima, great power. Otherwise, how will the great powers like Ad and Samud be subdued by Allah? But he's Jabbar. He has mighty power. Beyond imagination. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. How will the life of the soul be created? How will the life? Another qa'ida of Al-Asma wa Sifat is that a name may by implication involve other names. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Baylin also mentioned it. If we mention these qawaid, they may look cumbersome to us. But it's better to bring them out as we proceed mentioning the names. One of the qaida of Al-Asma, understanding Tawheed Al-Asma wa Sifat, he is being Al-Khaliq, the creator. It means he is Al-Alim. He knows what he wants to create. He is Al-Qadir. He has the ability to create what he knows that he wants to create. He is Al-Jabbar. He will have power over that thing that he has created. From Al-Khaliq, we can deduce all other attributes and names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't forget, that is also from the aspect of the interconnection between his name and his attributes. The names, different names have connections, different attributes also have a connection. One name may involve by implication other names. One name may involve that the one who is like this is certainly like this and like this and like that. So he is Al-Jabbar. He is Al-Mutakabbir. Al-Mutakabbir, ulama say it will have two meanings. One is with respect to Allah.
The other one is with respect to we, the human being. The one with respect to Allah is Al-Mustaqifu bi sifatil kibr. The one who knows he has the attribute of ascendance over all the rest of us, stupidity. You know, arrogance comes from looking down upon others. When the one who is arrogant looks down upon others, he has assumed supremacy over them. This is his arrogance. So, the reason why it is prohibited with human beings is that he's only seemingly looking superior to them. He's not actually superior to them. So, two meanings of at-takabbur. The first one is that behaving as if you are superior to them when you are not actually superior to them. This is what human beings do. What human being will think that he's superior to others. This is mutakabbir. And this attribute amongst human beings is ghanima or mazmuma. It's blameworthy. But al-mutakabbir, the one having actually the attribute of supremacy, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one meaning of takabbur has to do with we human beings. One meaning of takabbur has to do with who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For us, it is an attribute of blame and defect. But with respect to Allah, it's an attribute of what? Perfection. With respect to Rabb, at-takabbur is blameworthy. But with respect to Allah, at-takabbur is what? Praiseworthy. So Allah is al-mutakabbir. And then he says, Subhanallahi amma yushrikun. Far high is Allah above what the people have brought or the people join in partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's still telling us about himself. Who Allah will apply to? Like we mentioned yesterday, all the rest of the names go back to Allah. Allah does not go back to the names. You see, he kept on saying, Hu Allahu alladhi la ilaha illa huwa alimul ghaibi wa shahadati. Huwa ar-Rahman. Huwa Allahu ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Huwa Allahu alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-Malikul Quddus. Illa huwa. Referring to who? Allah. All names, all the rest of the names of Allah, who do they describe? Allah. They come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this word Allah does not go back to them. You don't say Huwa Rahman al-Ladhi al-Malik al-Quddus. Huwa Rahman al-Ladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-Malik al-Quddus al-Salam. Or Huwa al-Aziz al-Ladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-Rahman al-Rahim. Huwa Allah. You describe Allah with the rest of the attributes. Because that is his most unique name, Allah. So he says, Hu Allahu al-Khaliqu. He is Allah al-Khaliqu, the creator. How many names do we have now? Five from Ayatul Kursi. Then from the beginning of this verse, we have Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, Al-Quddus as-Salam, Al-Mu'min, Al-Muhaymin, Al-Azim, Al-Jabbar, Al-Mutakabbir, 10 plus 5, 15. Subhanallah amma yushrikun. Huwa Allahu al-Khaliq, 16. Somebody can meet you, Afa, Sina. Tell me Allah's name. I know Allah. I know Allah. Then Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. What are others? Quickly look at Surah Al-Fatiha. There is Ar-Rahman, it's one of the names of Allah. There is Ar-Rahman, there is Ar-Rahim, there is Al-Malik. So you pick the name of Allah. You can't love somebody without knowing his name. Our younger brothers, when they look for a wife to marry, the little sister, what's your name? They say, my name is, let's say, Ruqayya. The next time they start asking, do you have other names? Abeni, Abefe, they start looking for those names. They want to know more names.
Because more names indicate honor and nobility. The more names a king has, the more nobility it has. Because it means it has different aspects. If you look at me from this aspect, I am Abeke. If you look at me from that aspect, I am Adike. If you look at me from this aspect, I am Adike. If you look at me from this aspect. So Arabs have that. The better a king is, the more name it will have. Because it means you have so many areas to look at this good thing. ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ. So our Lord, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has many names. And all those names are from them. Al-Asma'ul Husna. Al-Husna is the feminine form of Ahsanu. It's bigger to subdue. Feminine. Instead of saying Ahsanu, because Asma'u, that word is feminine. So the pronoun that it will take, or the adjective that it will take, must also be feminine. When you say Al-Asma'u, you must give it what? Husna. The best names are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lahul Asma. And this word, this expression, Lahul Asma'ul Husna, it has a wonderful implication in Arabic grammar. Let's look at that. Lahul Asma'ul Husna. It is supposed to be Al-Asma'ul Husna Lahu. Al-Asma'ul Husna is the Mubtada. Lahu is the khabar. But here we have the Jibul Khabar Al-Mubtada. So we have Lahul Asma'ul Husna instead of Al-Asma'ul Husna Lahu. The scholars of Arabic literature. You see, what does it mean? Instead of saying Lahu Al-Asma'ul Husna Lahu, you say Lahu Al-Asma'ul Husna Taqdeemu Ma Haqquhu At-Ta'khir, bringing forward what should never really come back. You bring it forward and then bring your other one backward. They say what it means is that Lahu Al-Asma'ul Husna La Lidayrihi. It has an ifada of what they refer to as Al-Hasr, restriction. It means that the ownership of that thing is restricted to him alone. Lahu Al-Asma'ul Husna means Al-Asma'ul Husna do not belong to anybody except him. Lahu Al-Asma'ul Husna means Al-Asma'ul Husna belongs to him and nobody else. But if you say Al-Asma'ul Husna Lahu, the beautiful names are he, does it mean that the most beautiful names may not belong to somebody else? If you say Al-Asma'ul Husna Lahu, the beautiful names are he, does it mean that the most beautiful name may not belong to somebody else? But when you say Lahu Al-Asma'ul Husna, what you mean is that Lahu Wahdahu, him alone has these most beautiful names, La Ghayr, nobody else. Nobody else has these most beautiful names. If you are Aziz in your name, you have nobility. You are just mentioning that name. Perhaps you are Abdullah Aziz. Abdullah Aziz. That is the best of what you get. So when we bring it in short form, we say you are Aziz. Or we just say you are Aziz, and in fact, a noble person. In just that. But in the absolute sense of nobility, if you are noble, you should not go to the toilet. If you are absolutely noble, you should not go to the toilet. You should be far above visiting the toilet. You should be far above urinating. Because you have to clean up yourself. You have to remove dirt from yourself. And the dirt was produced by you. Look at all of these imperfections from human beings. But Allah is Al-Azim, far above all imperfection. It was Al-Quddu, evolved in perfection and pure away from them. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is very necessary for us to think about implementing and really understanding these names and working with them. It will help us a lot. If you know that it is Allah that is Al-Jabbar, the one that is dominant over all others, you will know that you can't be dominating over people. You will not like to be dominant over people. If you know that it is Allah that is Al-Mutakabbir, actually supreme and above, He has ascendancy over us, you will not like to be a Mutakabbir. You will know that when you want to be arrogant, you are always feeling something that does not belong to you. When you know that Allah is Ar-Rahman, that's why it says, alayhi salatu wa salam, Ar-Rahimun yarhamuhum Ar-Rahman. Those who show mercy to people. Ar-Rahman, the one who has mercy, yarhamuhum. Because he is what? Rahim. Ar-Rahimun, those who show mercy to people. يرحمهم الرحمن الرحمن is المتصف بصفة رحمته الرحمن the one who has mercy. He has attributes of mercy. يرحمهم, he will show mercy to them, and by that he is what? الرحيم, the one who shows mercy to people. We have to internalize these things. You don't have to think that learning from Allah each time you want to remember Allah's name. What is the meaning of Ar-Rahman? No, Ar-Rahman is the one who has attributes of mercy. Ar-Rahim is the one who extends mercy to others. Al-Muhaymin is the one who is watching over all others. Al-Mu'min, the one who gives or who provides security for everybody. Ah, what about the CCTV camera? All of that show the imperfection of human beings regarding these matters. The actual provider of security is who? Allah is the Father. The places where they mostly rely on all these things, all those security have been broken. Quote. So who actually provides security? Allah. Let me quickly bring, because, like I mentioned, we need to really understand and internalize these matters. It does not suffice to just say, oh, we read the book. And your mind can't feel something of having read a book like this. When Abdullah ibn Abbas, Sa'id ibn Zubayr, this asar occurs in Tafsir by Imam al-Tabari, which is Asanid. Shaykh Salim al-Hilali in his book Tanbih al-Anam, he gave this hadith as authentic. Sa'id ibn Zubayr went to Ibn Abbas to ask him about the story of Musa alayhi salam. To tell me about Musa. So he said, I will tell you today, come tomorrow. So ulama daily is evidence that you can ask somebody a question. I will give you another day. I will give you the answer. So Sa'id kept on asking Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, tell me the story of Musa. Some of that. Until a day he asked the Nasir, sit down, let me tell you. The hadith occurs in three pages. So you see, he deserves a sit down, so we just want to teach one or two aspects of that. So this, to make us understand that Allah is Al-Mu'min. Do we know Harun alayhi salatu wa salam is a year older than his brother Musa? And that Harun was born in the year when Musa alayhi salam would say people to be left. You know, he killed their children 1 year and left them on another year. He was leaving them so that they will have some children to work for them, you know. If they kill them every year, who are the boys who will grow up to be the men who will work in the Egyptian farm? So 1 year he would leave the boys
on another year he will kill them. Harun was born by the mother of Musa alayhi salam in the year when they were left. But as for Musa alayhi salam, he was born in the year when they were to be killed. When his mother bore him, as Allah mentioned in Al-Qasas, and as it is a good story by Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he told him to place him in a box. So, is that boy supposed to be alive in a box, or is he supposed to be dead in a box? Who provided him security? Okay. In that box must be put on the ocean. A human being is placed on an ocean. Is he supposed to be alive or dead? Supposed to be dead. But who provided him security? Allah. That ocean, by the power of Allah, because Allah is Al-Qadir, the one who is able to do everything that he wants, he made the water to flow, carrying that box containing the boy, into the house of Fir'aun, where they are killing people. If Fir'aun was not aware of Musa's birth, that is a separate case. But he was aware, he was packaged, Musa was packaged, so to speak, put in the sea, and then Allah brought him. It was Allah that brought Musa into the house of Fir'aun. Oh yeah, kill this one, let me. Who is Al-Mu'min? Who provided Musa security? You, who will provide him security? So why, where are you running to? Where are you running to? Where are you running to? Oh, people go to Babalawo. Babalawo cannot provide security for itself. I will tell people. They say there's one Baba in one village. If you go to him, he will do something to you, he will become rich. Deceptive. That man is living in the bush. They told you he doesn't know where Lekki is at. But he's living in the bush. You want to live in Lekki? You want to go and get the key to be able to live in Lekki from one man inside the bush? Deceptive. If he knows how you will live in Lekki, he will not do it quickly. Is there any rule that says they cannot practice traditional religion in Lekki? He will go and be practicing his work in Lekki. So don't look for something that is weak in itself. Don't look for something that is weak. Look for it from Allah. You are afraid, you are afraid. Yesterday, I had one dream. A brother told me, he said, let me tell us this. He said he woke up one morning, and he found that part of his hair had been cut off. Hey, brother, please wake up the next morning. So I said, how did you know? He said, my wife told me that my hair had been taken. I said, so what happened? He said, I just want to know, is there something I should understand about the situation? I said, there is nothing. You know what you do? He said, now tell me. I said, go and shave the entirety of the hair. Or equalize the hair first. First of all, make the hair to be equal. He said, what is the next? I said, do you know Surah Al-Falaq? He said, yes. I said, Surah, do you know Surah Al-Nas? He said, yes. I said, be reading them every time. Falaq and Nas. The Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. عقبة ابن عامر الجهني لفترة الحديث في مقام مسلم الإمام أحمد اتوفى قرن السنة من النسائي. السنة الفقر صلى عليه الصلاة والسلام ما تعوذ متعوذ بمثلهما ما تعوذ متعوذ بمثلهما. There is not a person looking for protection that can use something that is like Falak Allah. In Hadith in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, it says, the Prophet had, don't ask me a question regarding this after this class. that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had a lot of adhkar, mu'awwidhat, he used to say before Falak Anas came down. When Falak Anas came down, he stopped all and he faced this one. Don't ask me, are you now saying that we should stop all and face this one? That is how the hadith has come. I have looked for explanation of ulama, they stopped, they were not explaining it, so I will not explain anything. The hadith according to Sunan al-Tirmidhi on the Kitab al-Mu'awwidhat. That is how that hadith occurred. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, hadith said he had a lot of things he used to say to seek for protection. Outside Falak Anas. And if you look at these two surahs, they contain protection for everything. As Yoruba say, Bobo Nishe. Falak Anas. The point here is Allah is what? Al-Ummi. The one that will protect you. So Musa alayhi salam lived in the house of Fir'aun. From the time that a child will be a child, up to the time that you can call him a man. Fir'aun did not remember that he should kill him. If he remembered, he could not kill him. Each time he made a case against him, Asiya was there to protect Musa. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he was alone. Except Lut that accepted and believed with him. Al-Imam ibn Kathir rahimahullah said, when they wanted to burn Nabi Ibrahim in the fire, the whole city was gathering firewood. That if a woman tied her baby to where she went to fetch the firewood, she would break a small set of the firewood and put it in the hand of the baby, the youth participate. So the mother is carrying a big log on her head, the child is carrying a small strand or speck of wood. They want to burn wood, Ibrahim. Allah says, فَأَرَادُوا بِهِ كَيْدًا فَجَعَلْنَا هُمْ وَالْأَخْطَرِينَ. They intended evil with Ibrahim, but we make them the losers. Ibrahim was alone. Among those people fighting him who wanted to burn him was who? His father and mother. So don't say even my father and my mother, nobody is opposing me. Many people want to come to Kufur and Kufar because of father and mother. Don't let father and mother be the problem you will have. Know where the boundary lies. Don't say does that mean we should disobey our parents? No. That is not what we are talking about. I hope we should get this point. So dear brothers, they threw him into the fire. For them, fire. But the fire does not burn except by the permission of Allah. So the one who controls the fire calls the fire. Yana, you see now? Yana, you fire. Ulama will say this is evidence that Allah talks to these things. These jamadat, matter, not living things. Allah talks to them. In Zalzala too, the earth will talk. So fire, kuni, I feel he was talking to a woman. So you see Yahweh indicating of a woman there. Kuni, instead of kuni, it should be kuni in respect of a woman. Barjan wa salam. Allah is right. And you know the fire does not have a, they are not like us. They don't have a choice to accept or reject. So immediately, so between the time that the Ibrahim was long to the time that he will be in the fire has turned from fire to a comfortable place for Ibrahim. So why are you afraid? When you have Allah to handle, when you remember that Allah is Al-Mu'min, you are afraid. You are running about. That is why you are running about looking for one church to go to and one pastor to go to. Forget about it. Understanding and knowing who Allah is and trusting in Him will remove all of this from your mind. Allah is Al-Mu'min. Allah is Al-Jabbar. The Prophet Muhammad, he taught us one day. So when the people come to overpower you, say one thing. اللهم اكفني. What did he say? Be much. Oh Allah, suffice me with what you please. Suffice me with what you please. A brother, it has happened to him twice. On both occasions, the arm robbers ran away. On both occasions. Say, you have a mind, he said, it's not that I have mind though. But what I have is that I trust that thing the prophet said. He said, it is not that I have mind to face them, but I trust what the prophet says. And he didn't disappoint you. Allah will not disappoint you. May Allah protect us. So this is the way to relate to the attributes of Allah. You'll be remembering his attributes and acting upon the implications of those attributes. You'll be remembering his name. And you'll be acting upon the implications of his name. He likes it. He likes you to remember it, that he is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. He wants it. But the time that we should remember, we forget that. Apa, sorrow, tawid, yasman, la, tupa, lele. Orochiwani. May Allah protect us. So Allah is what he calls himself. In the third verse of these verses, it says, Huwa Allahu al-Khaliqu. Allah is al-Khaliqu. The one who creates, the creator. So no one created except Allah. The one who created all things is Allah. Don't say, oh, they now isolate cells. Recently they said they developed ears from the placenta and grew an ear for an individual from one of his arms. And they said, what happened? What does that mean? What does that mean? Does that affect the fact that Allah is the creator? Let them go and bring ear from somewhere outside the universe of Allah. Ear. They should go and bring ear from a place outside where Allah has created. Where is that? Nowhere. So Allah is alcoholic. Human beings, we are still battling with the robots. The robots they make, they are still battling with it in terms of perfection and accuracy. Yes, they say they are accurate, but there is the end of time. There's a long attitude from this board on these. The problems they face regarding the robots they make to perform duties for them. And if the robots are perfect, who made them? You. If you made the robots, who made you? If your brain is sound enough to make a robot, what about the one who made you? You that you are making a robot. The one who made you is what? And there is not a robot that you can make that can have the kind of brains we have as human beings. There is no robot that can have the kind of brain. It is said that if they want to make a robot to be able to do everything a human being does, everything, it will be as big as this house. It's in compartments. So, Allah is Al-Khaliqu. Allah is Al-Khaliqu. Allah is Al-Bari'u. They are connected. Al-Khaliqu, the one who created something. Al-Bari'u, the one who created something without looking at one. You see Allah, he closed all the doors. Al-Khaliqu, he created something. The creator. He calls himself Al-Bari'u again. The one who creates while not having seen one creation before. So as to say, okay, I saw one. Let me quickly go and create something like that. Allah did not see anything before he made us. There is nothing anywhere. So Allah is Al-Bari'u, the one who made creation without having seen any kind of thing before he made what he made. Then he is Al-Musawwiru. He makes the taswir of us. This mode,
that our eyes will be where they are, that our nostrils will be where they are, our mouth, our ears, their positioning. Brothers, we have eyelids. If our eyelids grow as long as our beard, how will we look? Imagine a man that has eyelids as long as his beard. How will he look? What about the eyelashes? If they are as long as our beard like this, how will we look? وَصَوَّرَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ صُوَّرَكُمْ Allah molded us. He designed us and made it a perfect لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ فِي أَحْسَنِ صَوَّرَكُمْ His form, we made it in the best form. So Allah is Al-Mutawwir. We are not talking about human beings. What about insects? If you see some insects, you learn to be following them about. Yeah, this insect is fine. Look at it. The color separation, the color this, the color that. Especially women, they like it. Then, only Allah knows the number of deaths they have created in terms of their order or class or whatever. And many of them, very, very beautiful creatures. Some of them, when you look at them, you'll be wondering. You see shades of color separation. Subhanallah. The color separation will be perfect. And they will match to indicate beauty. Even if those colors are colors that will say, this color and this color, they don't match. When Allah brings it in creation and you see, they will match. Allah is Al-Mutawwir. So when you see creation and its beauty, you say, ah, Allah. Allah is what? Al-Mustawwir. You must be able to connect these things so that you believe in it. You will live these things. You make it a part of you. Everywhere you go, you have something to think about Allah. Allah is Al-Mustawwir. Lahu al-Asma'u al-Husna. La bil-Ghayr. Al-Asma'u al-Husna are for him alone, not for anybody. He uses things like this a lot when he talks about himself. He says, Allah in Zuma, Lillahi dinul khalis. He didn't say, Allah khalis, ad-dinul khalis lillah. Ad-dinul Allah khalis lillah. Sincere worship is meant for Allah. Ad-dinul khalis lillah. Sincere worship is meant for who? Allah. It may be meant for another person too. But when you bring it back, Lillahi dinul khalis, that is, Lillahi wahdahu ad-dinul khalis. Sincere deen is for Allah alone and not for anybody else. That is the implication of saying, Lahuma fi sama, lahul asma'ul husna, as we explained earlier. There is a big hulahu ma fi samawati wal ard. Everything ma fi samawati. Human beings, animals, leaves, the sea, the fishes, everything in the heavens, including the stars, the moon, the various heavenly bodies, they make that really, they glorify Allah. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَفْقِيحًا But we don't understand. So you can now ask me, what about the kafir? Allah said in this verse, يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ The entirety of what is in the heavens and the earth, they praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They give praise of Allah. So you can say, what about kufar? Do kuffar also give praise of Allah? Ulama say two things. Two ways to understand this verse. The first is that everything that Allah has created on an individual, and it is what is like that as Allah has made it, that thing is giving tasbih to Allah. Your eyes are there, it's giving obedience. He told the eyes see and the eyes see.
It's not ear to hear, and ear is hear. So whether you use your mouth to say Subhanallah wa bihamdihi Subhanallah al-Azim, whether you do that, or the individual is saying something that Allah hates with his mouth, that mouth is talking. It is one way of giving tasbih to Allah. The second one is the tasbih we give voluntarily. The one that the kuffar are not making is voluntary tasbih. But they are giving what? Involuntary tasbih. So this is what Allah refers to. Yusabbihu lahu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. Everything in the entirety of the heavens and the earth, some of them give voluntary tasbih, some give both voluntary and one involuntary. So it says, "Wa huwa al-Aziz." We have discussed who and what al-Aziz means, and Allah is what al-Hakim. He is al-Hakim. We always say all-wise. What does wisdom mean? Al-Hakim is taken from the word ha'u kafu minu. These words are either referring to al-hukum or al-ishtar. Hukum or ishtar. Ulama say they both refer to itqan. Iza ahkama shaykh atqanahu. Ahkamahu. Not ishtar of giving away, even though it is part of his meaning, bin ludu. Because he gives us a ruling, and that ruling is in its place. He is giving us the ruling, understanding ishkam to mean giving a ruling, is making it hard with his judgment. So his ruling have others in it, they are fairness in it, they are just ruling. So Al-Hakim is the one who places things in their right places. Allah places everything in its right place. Allah places everything in their right place. When we were younger than this, they used to tell us, or they would tell us in geography. They say if the sun were to move a bit like a meter or 2 meters closer to the earth, the heat will be too much for us to bear. Okay, bring it 100 kilometers nearer. They say if it comes 1 meter, we will burn up. The earth will burn up because of intensity of heat. Okay, bring it 100 kilometers nearer. What will happen to this earth? So Allah made Ishkar, its car, with the place that He has placed the sun. He made Ishkar, its car, Hikmah, with the place that He has placed the earth. He made Ishkar with the place that He has placed the moon. He placed everything in their place. وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَقَدَّرَهُ. He created all things and placed their place. Place them in their rightful place. Ulama, when they explain this, they bring the verse in Mulk. Tabaraka alladhi bi yadihi al-mulk wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Alladhi khalaqa al-mawta wal hayata liyabluwakum ayyukum ahsanu amala wa huwa al-aziz al-ghafur. الذي خلق سبع سماوات سباقا. الله سبحانه وتعالى created seven heavens سباقا. To be in tabaqa, one level above the other. ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت. What Ar-Rahman has created, you would not see tafawut, adam al-istiwa. You would not see that is imbalance. ما ترى. You will not find imbalance. Because imbalance in creation will determine that the one who made it is not happy. There's no imbalance. It's balance.
Allah is Al-Hakim. So it means from the implication of being Al-Qari, he is that Al-Alim, he is Al-Qadir, he is Al-Qawi, he is Al-Aziz. From being Al-Qari, we said one name will by implication include other names by the capital. Is ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت. You will not find imbalance in what Allah has created. فارجع البصر. Take a look again. Because he's addressing you, because you know already. So say, but after you have known now, try to see whether you will see an imbalance. فارجع البصر. Take a second look. So he asked us, هل ترى من فتور? Do you find any imbalance? ثم ارجع البصر مرتين. Take a look again. تشوفوا. ينقلب إليك البصر. Your sight, your thought will return to you tired. Why? Because all of what you will see is what? Perfection, 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 perfection. Why do we human beings make? Why don't we have the kinds of womb that our wives and daughters have? Womb. I don't mean so much. I mean womb. Where a child resides. Do we have? If we have, if a male has it, it's an abnormality. And one of the wisdom behind that is that, look here, I can make you two to have if I want to make you have. So he placed everything in their place. So once we, our being a male or female is determined in the womb of our mother. From the time that the child is growing in the womb, if it's a female child, it will start having an ability to also be able to grow a womb. If it's a male child, he will start growing an ability to have bonus from the womb, from the very beginning. It places everything in their right place. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is Al-Hakim, Al-Hakim, the one who places everything. He said wise. That guy is wise. Oh, wisdom, he has wisdom. What does it mean? The placing or the person or the attribute of placing everything in its right place. And I tell you, there is nothing you look at in creation. Perfect, supposed to be there. In ecology, that's what they call ecosystem. Ecosystem. It's not just about you. It's about you and everything in creation. They say there is something they call niche, N-I-C-H-E. Niche, an echo niche. We are the ones, when we are doing a rujul basar, our muraja'atul basar, we are taking back, reviewing again. We begin to understand it. So they say biology is the study of nature. Don't be saying nature to mean any other than creation. Because that is another thing altogether. So we begin to study. We came back and said, oh, there is something called niche, an echo niche. That is the position that every organism occupies in the whole system. Ah, so we understand that it is a system. It's a big system. And in that system, you have a place you occupy, I have a place I occupy. Every organism has a place that it occupies. This system, this perfect system, that has placed every organism in a place to occupy. Could it have come on its own? So who made it?
Allah. That is from his attribute of hikmah. So he made everything. Everything in creation has a value. Everything in creation has a value. We are the ones saying that. So Allah placed everything in their right place. Everything in their right place. Everything in its right place. Everything in its right place. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزِ. And he is Al-Aziz, is able to do what he wants. He has power, he has nobility, he is free from imperfection. So when he wants perfection, he gives us perfection. I want this thing to be like, he gives us perfection. So Ikhwah, this verse occurs in Surah Al-Hashr. It is my hope that whenever we go back to read this verse, the mindset with which we will read this verse should be different. We should have read, inshallah, Ayatul Kursi this morning before we came out of the house court. We should have said, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. I'm sure while reading it, our mindset should be different from the mindset we had while reading that verse before yesterday. This is what I like. And when we read this verse today and any other time, this verse is in Al-Hashr. Our mindset should be different from when we read it there. Because now we should read it from level of consciousness. Since we would have understood the implication of every word and every statement that we make while reading the verse. The Sheikh said, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِأَنَّ لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. We also believe بِأَنَّ لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That certainly lahu mulku samawati wal ardh. You see again, lahu ma fi samawati wal ardh, lahu al asma'ul husna. In the aspect of sifat, he will always present that he presented a figure that will make us understand that it is for nobody but me alone. So when he says subhanahu wa ta'ala lahu mulku samawati wal ardh, what it means is that mulku samawati wal ardh lahu la li ghayri. The power, the kingship, the sovereignty of the heavens and the earth, lahu, is for him alone. So it says, lahu mulku samawati wal ardh. It says, yakhluqu ma yasha. Allah creates whatever he will. Okay, another attribute of Allah. He has mashi'a. Take note, this is not a name, but it's what? From the aspect of sifat. It says, lahu, it says, yakhluqu ma yasha. Yakhluqu ma yasha. Yakhluqu ma yasha. So we have two among the sifat. Sifatul khalq and sifatul mashi'a. And you will see that al-khalq has a name. What is that name? Al-khalq. But sifatul mashi'a, it does not have a name. So it will only exist as from his sifat. We mentioned yesterday, one of the differences between al-asma'u and sifat is that every ism comes along with a sifat. But not every sifat comes along with a name, with an ism. Mashi'a, Allah has mashi'a. Wa ma tasha'una. Illa an yasha'a. Yasha'a. Allah makes mashi'a. He has mashi'a. He wills. So from his attributes is that he wills. But he is not named himself the willer. So don't call him willer. He wills. He did call himself willer. He says, Yakhluqu ma yasha. He creates what he wills. He creates. Okay. He calls himself the creator. Al-Khaliq. And then he says, Yasha'u. But he didn't call himself that he is a wheeler. He wills, but he's not a wheeler. That is why, like we told us here today, in the aspect of Al-Asma wa Sifat, we have to behave like Ajud. You know it's an Ajud? Old mama, old woman, who is walking like this. When you say stand up, what will she do? He stands up. When you say sit down, what will she do? He sits. So what will be controlling us in the aspect of al-asma wa sifat is what nusus, Quran, Hadith, Ijma wa Sahaba. Quran, Hadith, Ijma wa Sahaba. Whatever they say, we take. Whatever they did not say, we keep quiet. We don't know. Whatever they say, we say. Whatever they don't say, we didn't say. Allah has mashia. He has the attribute of willing. Allah can will. But it's not a willer. Allah creates, but he is the creator. You see now. Why is he a creator here? He's not a willer. He didn't call himself a willer. And we would only call him by what he has called himself. So Allah is Al-Khaliq. He says, Yakhluqu ma yasha'u. He creates whatever he wills. Yahamu liman yasha'u inatha. When brothers have a chance, when they give back to them, I say, oh, Allah gave me one gift again. They lie, they like it. Allah himself called it a gift. He says, Yahamu liman yasha'u. Hima, the gift. It says, Yahabu liman yasha. Allah gives, he gives as a gift, liman yasha. So whomever he will is repeating it, that from his attribute of willing. What does he will? He wills to give. He wills to create. So he will give people out of his will. What will he give them in answer? So they give them girls. So they Abu Aisha, Abu Mariana, Abu Ruqayya, Abu. He gives girls. He says, Wayahabu, Liman Yasha, Uzzukur. And he gives also as a gift. So it's not like gives you girls. All my children are girls. I'm not talking about myself. I'm giving an example. Somebody says, all my children are girls. So yes, Allah gave me the gift of girls. Girls, first born, girls. Second born, girls. Third born, girls. First born, girls. If you have up to 11, all 11, girls. If you have up to 15, 20, all 20, girls. All these are gifts of Allah to you. He's been giving you gifts. وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورَ. And he gives to whomever he will as الذُّكُورَ male. One of the أئمَّة, Hammad ibn Zayd, he was looking for a boy. He kept on marrying and giving back to children. No boy. So Allah gives, if you like, gives. May Allah give us what is best for us. وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورَ. And whomever he needs, he gives you a male. Give them male, zukur, male. How is the widow zawj? How that zawwaja, he combines them. How does he combine them? ذُكْرَانًا وَإِنَاثًا. By giving male and female. If he likes, if he will, he gives you female. If he likes, he gives you male. There are friends who, all they are male boy. You say, let me to have a girl, at least I can have a lot. Allah has given you what he likes, what he wills for you. Or he could come back, male today, female tomorrow, male today, female tomorrow, male today, female tomorrow, male today. So if you have 10 children, 5 boys, 5 girls. So my brother says, okay, I just like 2 boys, 2 girls. They want a combination. It means the gifts are not many. So we say, I like 1 boy, 1 girl. Only 2 from the body of our Razak. You only want to take 2 from this and that. It is a gift. A woman has told me before, my husband said that he will divorce me if I don't remove this pregnancy that I have. Many times, not once, a brother will tell his wife, look here, if you get pregnant again, I will divorce you. Why is he divorcing the innocent woman? Is she the one that put the pregnancy there? None of them put it except Allah. If it is just by the effort of a male upon a female and by the fact that brings about pregnancy, there should be no accusation. There should be no barring male or female. It's not just about that effort. It's about Allah saying be there and it will be there. But the man, because he's miskin, he's blaming the innocent woman as if he's the one in charge of that. She's not in charge. And some men and families blame their daughter. They say, look at you. All men, yes. They want her to give back to a man as if she's the one controlling it. The other way around, some families say, men. Yoruba believe that men is strong. So men said first, men said second, men said third, they say abominity here, that is put water there. What does it mean? Bring a female. This men, is too strong. Relax it. You have heard now. Who is in charge of it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the brother begins to fight his wife regarding this matter, you know that if he has problem with some aspects of understanding Allah's tawheed. So brothers, don't do it again. So women too do it. It's very important, here and there. He said, وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ أَكِيمَ يَجْعَلُ. He makes whomever he will. Allah is telling you what he will, what I want. أَكِيمَ. Both male and female, they will not have any time. So when you see the brother, what's happening? Say, oh, well, Allah is just doing what he wants. I say, oh, barakallah. That you know that it's Allah that is still doing what he wants. So say, oh, I don't know, this woman, you keep him in the house. I don't know what he's just eating at his family to the day. They say, this is your wife, he's just eating our food. She didn't give back the child for us. At least she's the one in charge of it. If the case is a medical one, that is a small thing, go to the hospital. Allah has blessed us from his hikmah. He has blessed mankind with some knowledge today. We can do so many things now, human beings. So if it is a medical issue, go to the hospital. It's like any kind of illness, malaria or typhoid. Cure it. It's from the aspect of sunnah to seek cure for illness. Okay. We have gone. We have gone to office. We have gone to everywhere. Not including Babalawo. And a question came yesterday. 2 days ago. That's regarding looking for a husband. A sister sent a text message that her father sent to her. The man said the sister should get 40 naira. And rub this 40 naira on the entirety of her body. And get white dog and white Odi. What is Odi? Cola nut. Seven white cola nut, one dog, white, and 40 naira. And rub the 40 naira. Why did they not pay 100 naira? Why 40? Senselessness accompanies shape. Somebody I know very well inside my house said, when they were young, let me come back to this. So the father told her that she will carry that thing and go and give it to a woman that is mad, a crazy woman. But a woman. She got it. So she's asking me, advise me. I always say, don't ask me for advice in a situation like this. Because you know the meaning of what you do. You should allow people to relax too. You know the ruling already. You know the matter already. Oh, or you think that I will tell you, yes, that is a good idea. Go and do it. You know I will never tell you to do that. But maybe the excuse I give to people in circumstances like this is that they want something to further strengthen their mind, especially women. I did not send another title. You know. I called the number. Woman. I said, have you heard what they call switch before? She said, yes. I said, this is one example. Look. Don't try it though. Don't allow Shaitan to play with you. Fortunately, she's somebody that I know very well. So I started to think, when you go and sometimes they go and put it in a B-junction. They go and put it in a B-junction. Somebody I know very well. She said when they were young, when these people put egg, corn, fish, oil on the B-junction, they'll be waiting for them. Once they go and pack it. She said they will fry the egg. She said. And this egg, we are meant for who? يهب لمن يشاء إناثا ويهب لمن يشاء الذكور أو يزوجهم ذكرانا وإناثا ويجعل من يشاء عقيما. It is Allah that does what he wills. If the person does that 50 times, if Allah will not give you anything, he will not give you anything. And then you will be presenting yourself to him. If you do it and he gives you, he will still punish you for doing it until you seek repentance. Some people will deceive themselves and say, let us simply do it and repent. They will do it to him. They will repent. Allah will accept the repentance. They will have the child and it will be a child of problems to them. When the child now grows up, they begin to regret, I wish I never had the child. I have families like that. I have seen. Like this, Yoruba have an adage. They say we all look and look for a child. Anyhow, when you now get the child, you now play the child on Islam. But you got the child anyhow. What you get anyhow will ever be anyhow, except as Allah wills. So understand it, that it is Allah that gives children. Out of his will, يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا. He gives whomever he wills children. وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ ذُكُورًا. He gives whomever he wills males. How is the wish of or he may combine them. ذُكْرَانًا وَإِنَاثًا. As males and females. وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. As he wills again. He makes anybody that he likes. أَتِيمًا. To be very. Oh, somebody can ask a question. If Allah was repeating, I wish, as I wish, as I wish, is he not wishing and willing to help me? Ulama say no. His mashia is connected to his hikmah and to his knowledge. Allah's will is connected to his knowledge and his wisdom. So he will something that is in consonance with wisdom and in consonance with knowledge. How do we know? Allah says, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. مَا تَشَاءُونَ. Whatever you will, will not be, you will not will except as Allah wills. Before you now will, and before all of that, Allah is Alimul Hakim. What does it mean? That is, his will follow his knowledge and wisdom. So whatever Allah gives you, if it is a male, that is in line with the wisdom and knowledge of Allah. If it is a female, it is in line with the wisdom and knowledge of who? Allah. If it is combined, it is in terms with the knowledge and wisdom of Allah.
If he did not give you anything, or he has not, because you can't say he did not. You can't say he did not.
We have friends 10, 11, 12, Kafiriya, no child, but Allah still gave them children.
I was surprised one day, we were having an akiko in our house. One old woman, a woman was complaining of child. So she said, come here. You see me? I stayed for 7 years before I had my first child. 7 years. I never knew. I asked her. See, madam, she's very, very nice. Above 85 now. I said, I've never heard this before. She said, Apa, know it today. She said the fact was that when we started having children, we forgot it. I beg Allah to make sure for our brothers and sisters who don't have children for now. By the time Allah will give you children, you will forget now that you don't have children. This is Allah. So be aware that it's Allah that does what he likes regarding this matter. So from the attributes of Allah is that we have Mashi'a. The path of Allah is what? Mashi'a. That Mashi'a sometimes is also in part of what? Irada. We come back and keep Allah with. That is one of what these verses entail. It also includes the sifa of khalq, the fact that Allah creates. And then it says, and then it says, and then it says, إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ قَدِيرٌ. Allah is عَلِيمٌ. He knows what is best for you. قَدِيرٌ. And then that thing that is best for you, he is able to do it. So another name of Allah we add. Have we added Alim? Have we added Alim? We have not added Alim. So now we add what? Alimun Qadir. Qadir, able to do whatever he wants. So how many names do we have? The sifat are many. But the names are many. Five from Ayatul Kursi. In this verse, how many? Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر 10 plus 5 15 الخالق البارئ المصور الحكيم how many now 19 قدير making it how many 20 Okay. That verse is in Surah, that 49:16. I want to suggest that we should stop here for now. We can go over this verse again. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الاسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والارض وهو العزيز الحكيم We can stop here. Confident. The confident place to stop. Before we go for Salat al-Zuhr, perhaps we'll take a few questions and then we'll proceed after Salat al-Zuhr, inshallah.
This that he said, how do we discuss with someone who claims there is Tawheed Hakimiyya? And says anyone who does not believe in it is a kafir or mukhtar. There are two problems for being in this kind of people. The first is, what does it mean to say Hakimiyya? It's just about dinil hukmu illa lillah. Allah alone has the right to give a ruling. Allah alone has the right to give a ruling. And when he gives a ruling, he is the only one who has the right to do that, no one else. And that takes from his name and hakam. When we are discussing Khatim, we mentioned that Tahu Kafu Mimun, they come with two things. Two names of Allah, Al-Hakam and what? Hakim. Hakim, the one who is wise. Al-Hakam, the one who gives appropriate law that is suitable for the people. So, Al-Hakimiyya may come under the sifat of Allah. That Allah is Al-Hakam al-Hakim. He is the one who gives law from his attitude. Like I said, all these attributes have implications. Allah alone is the one who gives law. Allah alone is the one who makes laws. And it is only his laws alone that should be obeyed. That is connected to his sifa al-hakam and al-hakim. Okay. The person says, if you don't believe you are kafir, how does that become an issue of hope? It shows who that person is. Those who hate him say, you are not too like this or you are not. They are from the belief system of the Paridia. So for them, kufur is, if one plus one is not equal to two, then it is kufur. People should not approach the matter of Islam like this. The first question we ask what the person. Yesterday, you see now why we are trying to address a point that Tawheed is only divided into three. And we are trying to prove it that the Sikrati Quran was the source of Hadithiyya by making the Sikrati long-term painstaking study of the Quran and the text of Sunnah indicates that Tawheed can only be in three. And then we mentioned that the A'imma from the time of Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, 150 down, from 150 down, they are rather considered Tawheed to be of three forms. And we get examples of those who said Al-Imam Al-Tahawi, Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi, Al-Imam Al-Tabari, Al-Imam Abu Yusuf, Al-Imam Abu Hassan al-Shibani. We get examples of A'imma who say Tawheed is only three. Every other form of Tawheed you find will go under this three. So if you ask this person, that you say, if you don't believe in Tawheed, Hakimiyya, you are kafir. But the person believes in the fact that Allah is Al-Hakam and he is Al-Hakim. So how then does he not believe in Hakimiyya? And then we ask you, this word Hakimiyya, where did you find it? Did the early Muslims used to say Tawheed Hakimiyya? And when they mention Tawheed Hakimiyya, if you will find, are they mentioning it separately as a form of Tawheed? Or they are mentioning it from the aspect of the sifat of Allah? Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Husayni, one of what has been mentioned regarding him is that they mentioned Al-Hakimiyya, the fact that Allah alone has the right to give a law and Allah's laws alone have the right to be followed. to say something under rububiyyah of Allah. How? They mention the verse of the Quran. In hadith by Habib al-Hatim, we remember Habib al-Hatim, the Muslim, the man who was a Christian and then became a Muslim. From the tribe of Fiqh, that is the name of their tribe. Fiqh. And his father was a very, very rich and benevolent person. Hatim, the father of Ali. So because of richness, Ali and Hatim was used to traveling to Sham, to place. It's always that the children of the rich always have opportunity to travel out. So he became a Christian. You know, that is the religion abroad in Sham. They were in the Arabian Peninsula, idol worship. So when he traveled abroad, like somebody civilized, quote and unquote, he took to what he took to. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met him, the Prophet told him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say a Christian, say yes. Say, but you take your rabbi and your monk as Lord beside Allah. He said, no, we don't take them as Lord, so. The Prophet said, alayhi sallam, when they make halal what Allah has made haram, and then they make haram what Allah makes halal, don't you follow them? He said, yes, he followed. He said, that if you are taking them as Lord. And then he read the verse to him, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا. Sheikh Ibn al-Sami said, this is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Do we get this point? They make halal what Allah makes haram. They make haram what Allah makes halal. That is the meaning of giving a ruling. That is Hatmiyyah. That is making laws, establishing laws. It's Hatmiyyah. But when Allah calls what, that's their action. Allah refers to it that they take those, their laws, they take their monks and their rabbis as arbab. اتخذوا أحبارهم the knowledgeable ones amongst them. وَرُهُبَانَهُمْ the worshipful ones amongst them. Who led them? اتخذوهم أربابا. They make them as rabbis. So which Tawheed is that? Rububiyyah. That is the reply to the person who thinks that Hakimiyyah is standing on his own. Hakimiyyah is under the Rububiyyah of Allah. Allah created this world. He made the laws that govern the world. So don't come and make another law to govern this world. وَلَا تُخْفِرُ الْمِزَانِ وَالسَّمَاءَ رَفَعَهَا وَوَضَعَ الْمِزَانِ أَلَّا تَطْغَوْا فِي الْمِزَانِ. Allah has created everything and placed them on measures. Don't disobey, don't disrupt it. Part of what He has created is that we human beings, He has made laws and given us laws. So when a person brings another law, he's disrupting this orderliness. And the orderliness of creation falls under the rububiyyah of Allah. So Tawheed al-Hatmiyyah does not stand alone. It is under the rububiyyah of Allah. The evidence for it is that verse of the Quran. Go back and ask this man two questions. What is the evidence that Hatmiyyah stands alone as a branch of Tawheed? Then who is your salaf in that? Who took that position before you? I think that suffices, inshallah. Sometimes when we expatiate on some matter, it is because of reasons like this. When we are expatiating and emphasizing yesterday that Tawheed only has three aspects, because we know that there are people who have this disease, even though we don't think. May Allah protect us. Fir'aun believed that Allah exists in his heart, like the Mushrikun of Quraysh. They too, they believe that Allah exists. And they believe that they should worship Allah, not just that He exists. But the problem is that they can't worship Allah directly. They have to go through their idols. That's what makes them mushrikun. So that the Fir'aun God believes that yes, that is rububiyyah, Allah created it. Shaitan should believe like that. But it is not making a movement. So to believe that Mumba, come on, wow, some people say that Mukia, Papa, Mumba, don't fight me. Inside my mind, inside, I know there is God. That is one aspect of rububiyyah. Al-iman bi wujudillah. To believe that there is Allah. Allah exists. One aspect of rububiyyah. Continue. So I know inside my mind. Say yes. Continue. So what else? You know in your mind. Knowledge does not suffice. Affirmation, because you must know and affirm. And you must say, you see iman now? Iman is not just to know and affirm the article of iman. We must know it. We must affirm it. We must say it. And our limbs must behave according to them. So if Fir'aun believes that Allah exists in his heart, but he refused to testify with his mouth, and then he has the ability to testify with his mouth. Fir'aun has ability. Because if a person does not have the ability to announce it, that's another issue. Like it happened to An-Najashi. Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said he was not able to proclaim to his people. But whenever he was able to say alone, he was able to say to his people on public iman. Even though he was not able to show it publicly, but he was able to say alone in his private, or with those who will believe with him amongst the companions when they visited him. So it's not even sufficient evidence. He's able to say. Fir'aun was able to say. He was even able to say inside the pub, inside his room, but he never said it. Fir'aun never said it until punishment came. So the point here, therefore, is that merely accepting and affirming faith in the mind is not sufficient. You must be able to say and act upon implications of iman. So Fir'aun refused to say. Is it then correct to say or think that he would eventually be in Al-Jannah after being punished in Jahannam? No. It is not acceptable. His iman is not acceptable. He is not from amongst those who is hiding iman because of an overpowering influence of perhaps a king or somebody who will punish him, like his people. There were those ulama in fact as called of Fir'aun. People in the family of Fir'aun. Allah mentioned that in, I think, Gospel. One of them, it's a very lengthy reading. I would have loved to read the entirety of that portion and tell us. They believed in Musa. They believed in Musa, but they did not show it to Fir'aun. So, but Musa and others knew, these people believed. Some people say Musa did not know that some of those people believed. But they had accepted iman as Musa did. That Musa preached to them. Fir'aun, they know inside his mind. In the manner that he will say that a person's conscience is blaming him. You know what that means? Somebody is making evil. And his conscience says, what you are doing is wrong. This was what Musa told Fir'aun. You too, you know in your mind that you are not Allah. You know that Allah sent me in your mind. You know. So all it means is, believe in the mind without expressing, without testifying belief on the mouth is not sufficient. So that's your valid. Okay, forget it, it's not Islam. Maybe shirk. Maybe kufu. But Islam, okay, kotoni bagwenyo. That belief must be expressed on the mouth, in the mouth, on the tongue. And then the limbs must also express that belief. These three must flow along themselves. So Fir'aun will be in Jahannam forever. That's what Allah said. النار يوردون عليها غدوا وعشيا ويوم تقوم الساعة أدخلوا آل فرعون أشد العذاب. Fir'aun will be punished with a severe, more severe punishment than the one he's receiving now. The one is receiving now fire, morning and evening. The one on the day of Qiyamah, it will be more severe than that. May Allah protect us. Fir'aun went on, he died as a kafir, he ended as a kafir, he never believed. The time that he wanted to believe is not the time that belief is acceptable. The time that he now expressed that thing. If he had not been thinking about it, do you think he would say it at that time? I want to be Rabbi Musa wa Harun.
Do you think he will take? He will not take. He has been taken. He has been not taken. But merely not feeling in the mind is not sufficient. Like a popular musician who died recently. When he died, we were there, he was a Muslim, he was not a Muslim. So we started searching. I started searching. In fact, when I was searching, I was begging Allah that it should be upon Islam. But I found that all that he was saying is a wish. Issue of I wish, I wish, I wish. It was even that if he goes for the concert in UK, when he finished, he will now go and testify and have Imam. He was giving Allah time. Unfortunately, he was never to go for the concert. He died upon his roof. May Allah protect us. So belief of the mind is not sufficient. You must follow what is in your mind with what? Statement, utterance, and what? Action. How does one relate with Allah in line with his names and attributes? We were repeating it as we were explaining. As we explain them, we are giving examples of how we relate with Allah regarding his names and attributes. This question answering it means we have to repeat all that we have said today. Can I come with a name for Allah based on my reflection about him? We answered this yesterday. Who are the so-called Abdal of Allah? Is an expression that was common amongst the Sufiya. But they intended by Abdal to mean that people who are very worshipful. So when they are on the earth, they go, when they die, Allah will bring another person to replace them. Generally speaking, it's what they mean. It appears not harmful, but it's very harmful. Because they also believe that there are awtar apart from Abdal. Awtar are the pegs with which Allah is holding the entirety of the earth. They believe that it is from human beings that are those awtar. So these ideas are not from the classification of Sunnah and the people of Sunnah. Imam, the deen, is either that the individual is a Muslim, or that he is a Muslim, or that is what? Muslim. But Abdal, Awtad, and all other things that the Sufiya have coined for themselves, they lack basis in the text of Quran and the Sunnah. That is what Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said regarding these expressions. Allahu Akbar. Can one see Allah in a dream? Yes, we can see Allah in a dream. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar said it is muttafaqun alayh bayn ahli sunnah wal jama'ah. It is agreed upon by the scholars of sunnah and jama'ah. We can see Allah in our dream. Ulama say it is from Aqidah ahli sunnah wal jama'ah. Imam Qadi Iyad also said it. Many others. It is possible to see Allah in our dream. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Allah in his dream. So don't bother about that. The second part of this question, we answer that question you would like to ask me. The person said, I received instructions from him. No. You will not receive instructions. Now telling you, okay, now you should stop performing salah. I have exempted you from salah. If you see that, know that it is shaitan that is playing with you. Know that it is shaitan that is playing with you. Shaitan will play with people to make halal haram for them and haram halal for them. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he has a book. He mentioned it in Al-Furqan between Awliya al-Rahman and Awliya al-Shaitan. He also mentioned it in his book, At-Tawassul. Regarding Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, Nu'man ibn Sadiq, that once he was in Qiyamul Layl, he heard a voice saying, oh Abu Hanifa, after he saw a huge lie, say, oh, what did he say he made halal for him? Huh? He made something, the Imam said, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. The light went off, the voice went off. Shortly after, another light, boom. And the voice came again, oh Abu Hanifa, your knowledge saved you today. You know that's another trap. He said, no, Allah saved me, not my knowledge. The light went off again. Wow. It is not everything that is connected to light that is true. You cannot, somebody cannot see one photograph looking like the Jesus that is now. You say, holy, holy. You say, ah, it's not Jesus in the dream. You say, lash, I thought it's the same thing. It is not everything that is also connected to darkness that is bad. This is one aspect of knowledge that we have not investigated properly. Dreams. And dreams have caused a lot of people to become kuffar. Many Muslims became kuffar because of dreams. They did not know how to handle it, so they went astray. Allah told us an entire surah in the Quran that is based on what? Dreams. Surah Yusuf. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after Salatul Subhi, he will ask them, who has a dream to tell us? Sometimes he will ask them after Salatul Asr. One of the ulama compiled his own dreams, the dreams of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, are in authentic narration. He called the book Ruqiyatu Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the dreams of the Prophet Muhammad. I think he mentioned about 32 or 33. The dreams that he himself mentioned. Because if he asked any companion about whether they had dreamt, if there was not anyone who would give a dream, he will now say, I dreamt that. He will start telling us his dream. From his dream is that Bilal used to perform, that Bilal, his footsteps was heard in Al-Jannah. Quote, he asked him, what are you doing, Bilal? He told him. From his dream, he saw Umar and the Qasr of Umar. In his dream, he saw so many things in his dream. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. Ulama said it is evidence that Muslims should pay attention to our dreams. But the study of dreams is an entirety of knowledge. It's a branch of knowledge. Because it has qawaid and dawali. Our brothers should pay attention to that. Perhaps sometimes we'll have full discussion. People will learn about the dreams. The qawaid, the foundations that are connected to them, how you understand dreams, how you interpret dreams, all of these have qawaid. We have rules regarding them from the kitab and the sunnah in the book of hadith, in the book of ma'ajil, and the ulama have compiled regarding them. A lot of books on dreams. And people have dreams regarding dreams. I hope that someday our brothers will discuss dreams with us. What is the implication of saying Allah Allah ati atilay anabi? To do what? What will atilay anabi do to Allah Allah? Okay. I was asking what is the meaning of Atilani Anabi. Because my own Yoruba is poor. Besides, it means that Allah's power. By Allah's power, and then by the fact that the Prophet support. You know why you took this like this? Because you now understand that with the power of Allah, nobody needs any other thing. I will tell you one thing, and let you say, so see, and let me get in there for you, Allah, Allah, وَلَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبَ لَاسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ وَمَا مَسَّنِيَ. True. Allah told the Prophet Muhammad, tell the people. And he said to us, now كُنْتُ, if I know الْغَيْبِ, if I know the unseen, if I have all these things you are saying, لَاسْتَكْثَرْتُ, I would have hated to acquire min al khair, a lot of books. Wama masaniyasu, my child will not die. Six of his children died when he was alive. Out of seven, six over seven. Some people, because of that, they became Christian. First child died, second child died, third child died, fourth child died, fifth child died, sixth one died, remaining only one. The Prophet Muhammad إذا أحب الله عبدا للصلاة. If Allah loves you, he tries. If Allah loves you, the evidence to show that he loves you is try. Some of us, we don't want try at all. Don't try me at all. But we want Allah to love us. Look at what he tried the Prophet with, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A man has 7 children, 6 died. And the 7th one died 6 months after him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Did Allah like him or not? Did Allah like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or not? This is one of the evidences that Allah likes him. Why? Because he tried him with these trials. A man that was normal in his society, in his community, had to be sent away. Oh yeah, we don't want you again. Go. And when he went out of the city, he called Makkah. Lawla anna ahlaka akhrajuni minki. Lawla anna ahlaki akhrajuni minki ma kharajtu minki. If not that your people sent me out of you, I will not go out of you. Referring to what? Makkah. So we use that in your money, your malona. He was among all of things you can think of amongst human beings. And yet they still told him to go. Allah tried the Prophet Muhammad. So with the power of Allah, Allah, I ask you by your power. Even the Prophet was asking Allah by the power and the names of Allah. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. The most beautiful names belong to Allah alone, don't forget. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. Ask Allah by means of His name. When you call Allah, invoke Him, you are Ar-Rahman. When we hear Al-Iyah from Haram al-Makki, maybe that is what we always hear, that's why I'm citing it as an example. The imams will always say, Ya Arhamar Rahim, Ya Arhamar Rahim, Ya Arhamar Rahim. They are asking, you are Rahman, or give us Rahman. So ask Allah with His name. Can a brother with parents demand for the name of his wife's mother for a system for solution to infertility? Can he give them? You know the answers to things like this. I was telling our brothers when we read some questions there. These things are things that we ourselves know that they are wrong. When will we start defending ourselves and we explaining the deen to ourselves? We brothers, when will we be the ones speaking for ourselves? When will we be the ones educating our parents so that they don't begin to ask us for this? Look at the kind of effort we made. Yesterday we came here from morning till evening. Today we are here morning till evening. Tomorrow morning till evening. Effort to learn. We need to be fair that we will just learn these things and it will be over. We will not tell our parents and relatives. Don't you like for them what you like for yourself? Mama, I just came to visit you. This is gift for you. Ah, good boy. Good girl, good this, good that. But I'd like to discuss something with you. What is it? Do you know that Allah alone has the right to be worshipped? Nobody should be worshipped besides Allah. And then you begin to tell them about Allah. When you are there, they may not take it serious. But when you leave, they will sit down and start thinking. Ha! What this boy has told me, I should think about it too. Let me tell us one thing. People came from homes where Sufiya was very, very strong. In those homes, you see the photographs of Ibrahim Nia, Tijani Nia. Big rich view. So the discussion started from, this thing is bad, this thing is bad, this thing is bad. We look for Quran Bukhari English. Is it volume 4 or 5? Hilali and Muqtin Khan. English, because he will read English. He will tell you, give me proof, alhamdulillah about that. You say something is bad, he will tell you, give me something to read about it.
So we'll be running around. Where can we find something? We look for one. Read this one. We have the Quran in English. Allah says, picture is this, those who take pictures, this, that, that. So the man was saying, no, it is not the pictures of our shame. It is the picture of those people that are bad, like Michael Jackson and the people. This hadith does not indicate that there is that difference. So after some time, when we sweep the ground, you know, if the way they have pictures those days, if you push it from under, the rope with which the nail is holding it, it will be free. So it will just come down. I broke more than 10. So when you sweep, just use the broom, push it up. It will fly up, bam, on the ground. When the ground, the photo of Shehu was broken, we will be laughing. So Shehu's photo can break. See, it means Shehu cannot do anything to himself. Another discussion we start. We start talking. Pay attention to your parents. Wallahi, after a short time, our parents became people who will depend on. Say, no, these boys have said the correction. You should not pray to Shehu. You should not do salatu to Shehu alone. Don't do the salatu that Shehu taught you. Do the salatu to al-Nabi that the Nabi himself taught. Can you know Allah more than al-Nabi? Wallahi, our parents will listen to us if we pay attention to them. How would it have been that you would have a parent who will die and then they don't know all these things? How is it? Please pay attention to them. Let's not leave our parents and relatives. And then when they are now talking about Buhari and PDP, UTC, you start talking and shouting. You are enjoying the discussion. What about the discussion that would be of more benefit to them? Did you engage them in those kind of discussions? Even in our homes, some brothers don't ever discuss Islam. Not to talk of one brother said something and then he begins. No, a discussion, look here. This is Tawheed. This is Aqidah al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah. Umu, let us be reading this book together. We believe that, and you will be looking for explanations regarding them. Together! Please, do it! When we had DSC, how many tutorials did we go to attend? Tutorial. Even at that, they were not sufficient. So this team, we should let it with a lot of tutorials too. And extend it to our beloved ones. May Allah make it easy for us. My husband took me to the hospital for family planning to avoid pregnancies after having one daughter for him. I went behind him to remove the nonsense and became pregnant. The day he found out, he said, "You cease to be my wife." And later said, "Don't think I'm joking. If I go and come back to meet you here, you might not be able to get one hijab." So the next morning, I ran away to my family with my daughter. Have I done something wrong? He doesn't have any alabawi, that is somebody that the man will respect and listen to. That is his mother or father also. Afa, I can't call him to order on anything. That is the wife is saying she cannot call her husband to order on anything. He has another wife that has children for him. My family has called him, but he refused. If the woman knew that threat is real, if he comes back, he's going to batter her. It's not wrong that she ran to her family. It's not wrong. Even though the basic rule is that the woman should stay at home when she's divorced. And It is not proper for a man to throw out as Yoruba do. Makwewe that I'll throw your luggage outside. Brothers do it too. I know people who did it, brothers. When they divorce their wife, they throw their load outside. It's wrong. Allah says, لَا يُخْرِجُوهُنَّ مِنْ بُيُوتِهِنَّ. Look at Allah. Don't throw the women away from their own houses. Who has the room? Allah says, Allah, who created you and them? He says, لَا يُخْرِجُوهُنَّ مِنْ بُيُوتِهِنَّ. Don't throw the women out from where? From their house. Who has the house? Allah ascribed the house to the woman, the room, not the entirety of the house. That room she stayed in is her own. I will not want to start saying, why not the entirety of the house? Because Allah says in the same surah, Askinu hunna min haythu sakantum. Keep the women in homes where you are staying. So askana, look at this term that you start here. You carry her to Tadia. So the home is your home, but the room is her own. Some of the ulama even say that when Allah ascribes the rooms to the women, it does not mean an ascription of ownership. They say that it is an ascription of frequency. Because they are most frequent in the room. The reason I have to clarify it is that some women can go back to home now. Tell Abu, have you heard that the house is my own? Can you please pack out? Don't say that to your husband. He's the owner of the house. كلكم راعي وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. The owner of the sheep is the man. The woman is just in aspect of management. She's in charge of the house. But in terms of ownership, the man owns it. In terms of frequency, she's the one more frequent in the room where the man has placed her. So ulama said that is the reason why Allah said, "Min buyutihinna." Don't take them out of the rooms where they have always been. Not that the rooms that they own. And when a person frequents a thing, that thing that is frequented may be ascribed to the one who frequents it. So asking no home. So the home, this woman should not go, lastly do hunna min buyutihinna. Man, don't throw your wife. Mother, where is that? One of the ulama says is from the aspect of knowing that a man is a party. What does he divorce a woman and carry her back and throw her back out there? It is from the proof that that man doesn't fear Allah. May Allah protect us. وَلَا يَخُرُجُنَا. She too, she must not go out of the house. You this man, I don't want you again. She can carry my luggage. I'm going. The woman should not do that. As the man should not throw her out, she should not throw herself out during divorce. All of this we are talking is during divorce. He gave an exception when the woman may leave the house. Illa an yatina bifahishatin mubayyin. Al Imam Ibn Kathir, he brought an explanation from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that an yatina bifahishatin mubayyin is that something happens between the man and the woman. The woman feels that she's not safe again to be in that house. Or the man feels that he's not safe again to be in that house. In that sense, the two of them will agree to say, oh, go and make your idda in social place. I have seen it before with my two eyes. A woman had a quarrel with her husband. She broke a bottle that she would stab him. A woman. And she was ready to do it. If the man had divorced her on that day, it would not be proper to say, if she's still in that euphoria, that they both should stay in the same house. So in that circumstance, the woman should make this guy extra. So if this woman is so sure that this guy, this man, I've heard of a brother before. Brother, with their trouser, yesterday I was saying, the beard and the trouser are not the A-all and Z-all of sinners. He married a wife in less than 1 month. He will tie her to the bed before meeting her. So that when you know the meaning of that tying, so that when he's beating her, she can't run away. He will first of all tie her down, and then he will go and pull his shirt and get ready to come and beat her. Brother, may Allah protect us. Similarly. Some women have lots of wood inside their ears. But that does not justify what that man is doing. So if a woman has a husband like this, and then he sends in that signal that I'm coming to the house, let me not meet you in that town. Because illa an yaqina bi fahishatin mubayyina. There's a trouble, fahisha. Shameful thing will happen. She can now go away. And rightly for her, she went to the family house. So it's okay. That question is answered. She said, what I did, is it correct? Yes, it's correct. But there is the other aspect she did not ask about. Was it correct in the first place for a brother to say that to a woman? Or to carry a woman to, what do they call it? Family planning? يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورَ أَوْ يُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكْرَانًا وَإِنَاثًا وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ عَقِيمًا. Let me tell us a hadith in Sahih Muslim. A man came to the Prophet Muhammad. He said he had a slave girl. If you have a slave girl, slave, not a house girl. If you have a slave in the days of slavery, it is allowed for a Muslim man to cohabit with his slave that he owns. So this companion told the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he cohabits with her but he does not want her to be pregnant. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when the man cohabits with the lady, he will come out of her at the time of ejaculation. So he was doing that. The Prophet said, that does not stop Allah from creating what he will create. So the man went away. He was doing that. So one day he came back to the Prophet Muhammad, the messenger of Allah. That thing that I told you, it has happened though. What is it? That he didn't want the woman to be pregnant. But now it has happened. She's now pregnant. So the Prophet said, Ana Abdullahi wa Rasul. I am the servant of Allah. And what? It means that what that man was doing did not prevent the pregnancy. In an hadith, he said, alayhi salatu wasalam. And wallahi, that is the truth. If you place a semen on your rock, if Allah wants to create a human being from me, he will create it. Let it not be in the womb of a woman. Wrong. If Allah wants to bring a creature from me, he will bring it. Allah is Al-Qadir. Allah is Al-Aziz. Allah is Al-Khaliq. Al-Bari'u. Al-Musawwir. Al-Aziz. Al-Qawiyu. Al-Jabbar. Al-Mutakabbir. This is where I place my belief. As a person, I don't believe that there is anything that prevents pregnancy. I'm not talking about people though. Myself. Wallahi ladhi la ilaha illallah. I don't believe that. I don't believe something prevents pregnancy. What I believe is that people don't get pregnant because Allah has not wanted them to be pregnant. They will be pregnant when Allah wants. That's why they will tell you of the 13 or 14 ways. They will say that the 14th one is the sure one, abstinence. The only way to be sure that your wife may not be pregnant is not to touch her. All of that, they will still be giving you probability. Maybe 90, maybe 80, maybe 85, maybe What of the 15? Can't the 15 occur? The 15 cannot occur. 85% non-probability. 15% probability. Can't that 15, one of the 15 chances out of 100 occur? Out of the 100 million cells, what is the percentage of the one semen that will activate the egg? Compare that percentage to 15%. 100 million in one single ejaculation. 1 over 100 million. How many percent is that? 0.000000. And yet that 0.000 will come and hatch the egg. And you are thinking that 15% cannot hatch the egg? You must be joking. Allah will create whatever He will create, when He will, how He will, at the time that He will. Please put this in your mind. Put this in your mind. I think that will suffice regarding that. And the third aspect of settling the dispute between herself and her husband, I'm sure at home where she is, this is the advice for women. Go back to home, your family. Always take issues back to your family, your father, your mother, and others who were involved with your marriage. So they will know how to فَبَعْثُوا حَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهَا. They will set up a panel between the two, and then the panel will begin to negotiate a reconciliation between you and your husband. I think these are the three aspects of the question. The aspects of the legality or otherwise of the so-called birth prevention method, and then the issue of her going out of the house, and then the issue of her settling the dispute between herself and her husband. But I think women should be marrying men who know Tawheed. A case like this is very common. Cases like this are common. But they will say they want a man that loves them. Okay. I want a caring brother. I want a loving brother. You are not looking for a brother that knows Tawheed. The one that loves you is the one they are looking for. Continue. Please, are we not crossing the boundary if we... Okay. If we title, that is, they give a child the name or the title Abeje or Abeje Lolong, that is, Allah is Mr. Jabudawa. Our Mujibu Dawa, the individual will be Mustajab, Mujib, Samir, Mujib, that the one who answers prayer. Would we not be going beyond bounds if we name a girl, a child, Abedjel alone? Allah is the one who answers prayer. That is the meaning of that name, Mujib, our Samirun. Because when you say Allah is a Samir, ulama say it has two meanings. Samir, the one who perceives, he hears, Samir, the one who answers supplication. So that's why you always hear them say Samir du'a, granting supplication. So a Samir is the one who hears. A Samir could also mean the one who grants supplication. So Abedjel alone could be under this, one of the meanings of this name, Abedjel. What is the ruling of taking Abu and Abu for treatment? What I understand about these things is that they are herbs. But people have gone far in the way they harvest and take and select the herbs. If it's just that it is herbs, put herbs together, drink for cure. Even the paracetamol and all of that are from herbs, and bags of trees and other materials. Some of them are from synthesis of chemicals. Some of them are from natural, isolated aspects of natural. In pharmacology, they tell us that. So if it is just about this, there is no problem. But when it has to do with 14 leaves of one leaf, one tree, several of another tree, if that is just by way of understanding that each leaf must have a measure, as its mixture will have measure quantity, actual quantities that should be there at appropriate, no problem. But if it has other than that meaning, then it is problematic. Secondly, those things, leaves and all of that, must be connected to the illness. For example, a person says he likes to be rich. What is the agbo to be rich? Abi agbomu ki e fi ma lowo. You want to be rich? Okay. Or you are selling commodities. You want to sell. They now say that it's one leaf. What will the leaf do to you selling? Will the leaf go and call customers for you, or what will it do? So there must be connection between the medicine and the illness. Very important in how to know a correct medicine to take. The medicine must be connected to the illness. A person is having headache. They say take one leaf and rub it on an iron in front of your house. Throw it away. What is rubbing a leaf on an iron having to do with your own headache? Or do they have some electromagnetic waves that when you rub on the iron, it will be generated and it will come to the head? So there must always be connection between the medicine that is taken and the illness that it seeks to cure. Other than that. And then perhaps at the time of collecting the leaves, there are conjurations people make when they prepare all these agbomu. So perhaps the servant's advice to give, if you know that a person is of this caliber, or is of this ilk, not caliber, when he prepares things like this, there is no possibility that he would not do these things that they say they are bad. Then don't take from him. Don't take from him. But if it's somebody you know that is not likely at all, he can't. Even though it is possible that he may, but the possibility is very, very, very remote. How? Can so-so brother give me something? Then you will find connection. You say, oh, this eye is telling me, say, take this and rub it on the eye. Oh, my ear is telling me, take this one, rub it on the ear. Or on the car. Because those ones too, they work sometimes even more than the paracetamol. I tell you, the rukia, they work even sometimes, many times more than the medicine. The paracetamol, somebody has headache, give him rukia, or give yourself. If it is you, that doesn't also prevent you from taking the paracetamol. So, there must always be connection, and then you look at who is giving you. That will make you know whether you can rely on agbomu or you may not rely on agbomu. There is agbomu jelly, like agbomu, they say use connection for bite. You know the way it is soap. You mix it with soap and you wash your hands with it. What is the connection between washing your hands and bite? You see, there is. If you can't find a connection, they have the things that will help them get a connection. So avoid things like this. Always think about if this medicine, what is the connection with the illness? And some are so professional. You will find a connection, and yet they will still make things. So please let us be careful. Know who from, know the kind of person you are accepting medicine from. If it is not from what we now refer to as orthodox medicine, you must be careful from the kind of person that you accept treatment. We beg Allah to forgive us all and make us understand better than we have been.
I think it's suffice till after Salatul Zuhur, inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.